How many of you feel the power and presence of the Lord right now? I wonder, with the lifting of the hands, how many could say, I feel my heart is ready to receive the word. Would you lift your hand and say, I feel my heart is ready. I'm prepared. I've got the doors of my heart open. I'm going to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save my souls. Amen. I'm going to be a doer of the word and not hearer only. Praise God. Tonight, the sanctuary choir will be practicing at 5 o'clock next week, our regularly scheduled service at Thursday, and then also next weekend. God bless you. Everybody say, we love Brother Stone King.
We love Brother Stone King.
And Brother Stone King loves you more than you will ever know. In view of racism, in view of extreme hatreds in this hour, in view of anti-Semiticism, in view of the rising of Nazism again, it is important that we hear what you're about to hear today. What you are going to hear, I have worked at for over 25 years. Bits and pieces, even before I was saved, an attraction to something that I knew was powerful, but could not put it together until I became literally one of His. The Bible is true. And those who trifle with its contents will in the end result become destroyed. I want to read to you today from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1. About a year ago, I sat down and typed up and put together all of this for you today. The Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them, Abraham, that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. I simply want to entitle this today, The Jewish Connection. Would you lift your hands and your voices and your hearts? Lord Jesus, this morning, I am praying that you will cause, O Lord, the authenticity and the validity of your holy word to somehow become illumined. Let it somehow strike fire in our hearts and our minds and our souls today. That we will understand that the Word of God is sure, that it is an anchor, that the promises of God are yea and amen. And what you have spoken cannot be altered, neither by the course of human history, nor by those who oppose your divine utterances. Today, let the spirit of revelation and understanding come in upon us. Cause our hearts to be opened wide to that, O Lord, which you would speak to us individually and conglomerately. We thank you, O Master of the universe today, for the goodness of God, for your demonstration among us in the course of this revival. This morning, have your will and your way, and be exalted among us with a fresh fervor, a fresh appreciation. O Jesus of Nazareth, receive our praise and our worship unto thee. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap for the Lord today for just a moment? We still sound just a bit sleepy this morning. So let us clap with all of our might and with all of our heart. And in the process of the clapping, could we lift our voice just one more time in the house of the Lord, in the tabernacle of His presence, where He doth surely abide. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. A court chaplain in the 18th century was asked by Frederick the Great, what one word is proof that the Bible is inspired? The chaplain replied, the Jew, Your Majesty. Mark Twain said, all things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. Lord Beaconsfield said, the attempt to destroy the Jews has been made under the most favorable auspices and on the largest scale and for the longest period of time. Egyptian pharaohs, Assyrian kings, Roman emperors, Scandinavian crusaders, Gothic princes and holy inquisitors have alike devoted their energies to the fulfillment of this common purpose. Expatriation, exile, captivity, confiscation, torture, and massacre on the most extensive scale have been tried in vain. The Jew, however, remains. If a dog bites a man, not much is said about that. But if a man bites a dog, it will make the headlines. It is not news if a dry bush in the desert catches fire. But if a bush catches fire and is not burned, it will attract the attention of those who view it. The Jews are the burning bush of the world, but never destroyed. At Masada in 73 AD, over 900 men, women, and children committed mass suicide rather than lose their freedom. The Jews have been disobedient but preserved. They have been cast out but rescued, reluctant but testifying to God's power. And if a man catches a fish, nothing is said. But if a fish catches a man and the man lives to tell it, it will attract the attention of the masses of this present world. From ancient history, we learn that Egypt put the 12 tribes of Israel in bondage for over 400 years. As a result of the bondage, what happened to Pharaoh and his army? The Assyrian Empire took captive the northern 10 tribes of Israel in 732 BC and scattered them. Where is the Assyrian Empire today? The Babylonian Empire took Judah captive in 597 BC. What happened to the city of Babylon a few years later, and where is her great empire today? The Medo-Persian Empire conquered Babylon and held the Jews a few years. Where is this empire today? The Greek Empire conquered the Jews and their country for another few years. Where is the Greek Empire today? The Roman Empire conquered and scattered the Jewish nation. What happened to the Roman Empire? From present history, we learn that the Jews were either annihilated in or expelled from England in 1272, from France in 1306, from Spain in 1492, from Russia in 1917, from Germany in 1944. Yet, they remain a powerful influence in the Middle East today. Where is Hitler and his Third Reich that was supposed to last for 1,000 years? It lasted less than a decade. In 1948, a tiny nation only hours old fought for its life and won against six much larger neighbors, outnumbered 40-1. The preservation of the Jews to this hour is a miracle of God, His Bible and history. the number of eminent Jews in the world is and always has been out of all proportion to their population. All of us are extremely indebted to the Jews. It was Jewish money, for example, that financed Christopher Columbus and made possible the discovery of this country of America. It was Jewish money that carried through the Revolutionary War. Haim Salomon was the Jewish broker who almost single-handedly carried Jefferson, Monroe, and Madison through the days of their financial difficulties, bringing America to victory. The number of Jews receiving Nobel Prizes is astounding. There are 21 Jews that have received Nobel Prizes. I have their names and the dates, but will not take the time to mention them here. A Jew whose name was Waksman discovered streptomycin, used to destroy tuberculosis and many other diseases. Dr. Joseph Goldberger, a Jew, discoverer of the prevention and cure of pellagra, a disease which in the South killed 7,000 and crippled 250,000 people yearly. Dr. Goldberger injected himself with the discharges of the dying people, thereby using himself as the guinea pig. Poliomyelitis, in the beginning of the 1950s, was considered the most feared killer and crippler of children, and because of this was called infantile paralysis. I can remember as a child my parents forbidding myself and my sister to play near any stagnant water or to get too far into the woods that surrounded our house. The fear of polio in my childhood was absolutely a terror. And our parents were afraid that we would come in contact with whatever it was that caused this hideous crippler to come upon children. But there was a Jew whose name was Dr. Jonas E. Salk. He brought into being the Salk vaccine. The American Medical Doctors of America wanted him to receive at least $1 for each child inoculated. But Dr. Jonas Salk would accept no financial remuneration. He could have received millions, but he received nothing. Today, this crippling disease is hardly remembered. Shortly after World War II, a Floridian newspaper made this comment: a Nazi who has syphilis must not allow himself to be cured by Salverson, because it is the discovery of the Jew, Ehrlich. He must not even take steps to find out whether he has syphilis, because the Wassermann reaction used for the purpose is the discovery of a Jew. If he has heart disease, he must not use digitalis, which was developed by a Jew, Ludwig Trebel. If he has a toothache, he must not use cocaine, for he will be benefiting from the work of a Jew, Solomon Stricker. Typhus must not be treated, for he will have to benefit by the discoveries of a Jew, or Jews, Weidel and Wheel. If he has diabetes, he must not use insulin because of the research work of a Jew, Minkowski. If he has a headache, he must shun pyrimidine and antipyrin discovered by two Jews, Spiro and Elog. Anti-Semitics who have convulsions must put up with them, for it was a Jew, Oscar Liebrecht, who thought of using chloral hydrate. This is true for the psychic ailments of our world today also, since the Jew Freud is the father of psychoanalysis. No ethnic group, race, or culture has made so many contributions for the cause of mankind as has the Jews. Music, literature, medicine, science, art, humanities, physics, entertainment will find Jewish leadership at the top. It is no wonder then that a great British statesman and educator said in 1939, quote, "The lights of Europe are going out one by one, the light of culture, learning, and human kindness. They are going out because the deified monster, Hitler, is swallowing them," unquote. Petroleum, that lovely product that Arabs find themselves sitting on, was discovered not by an Arab or even a Texan, but by a Jew, Abraham Schreiner, who died in 1900. Furthermore, Italians should realize that their beloved pizza is derived from a very Jewish ingredient, matzah. More than 2,000 years ago, Roman soldiers added olive oil and cheese to matzahs. Mussolini's dentist was a Jew, Dr. Pipino. Adolf Hitler was befriended by Jews in youth and adulthood. Adolf Hitler was a mediocre would-be artist, and it was Jews that bought his first paintings. Hitler himself owed a great deal to a Jewish doctor who cared for his mother who died of cancer. Once Hitler's mother was dead, Hitler took his sister and they went to this Jewish doctor and they thanked him personally for his kind attention and his medical expertise on behalf of their mother. Hitler himself looked very Jewish, and the thing he most feared was that Jewish blood would be found in his ancestry. We are almost certain that Hitler's grandfather was Jewish. Jews lived in Germany before the Germans. Jews have served as the leaders of 9 non-Jewish nations. A Jew once owned 1/4 of Russia's railroads. The oldest stone house in England was originally used as a synagogue. The organ was originally used in the temple. Early Christians were reluctant to use it in church services because it sounded too Jewish. All the writers of the New Testament were Jewish, except Luke. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, at one point called himself a Jewish prophet. 3 of the 4 greatest thinkers dominating the 20th century were Jewish: Marx, Freud, and Einstein. Einstein built his momentous theories on backgrounds of Judaism. He said, quote, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead." A Jew invented the telephone and exhibited it publicly 15 years before Alexander Graham Bell patented his invention. Almost 200 years before Columbus, a rabbi wrote that the world was round. Orville and Wilbur Wright were influenced in their invention of the airplane by a Jew who had made 2,000 controlled glider flights. The first American scientist ever awarded the Nobel Prize was a Jew. The first planet discovered since prehistoric times was found by a Jew who was a musician by profession. Atomic research is almost exclusively the work of Jews. Hitler's anti-Semitism refused Einstein citizenship in Germany, and he was driven out. With my own eyes in the museum of Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, which means hill or mount of remembrance, I have seen the letter with my own eyes that refused the brilliant mind, the incredible mathematical, physical mind of a man citizenship in a country because he was born of a Jewish mother. But God had told Abraham, he said, "Those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse." Germany threw him out, but America took him in. And because of it, America ended up with the formula for relativity and general relativity. Hence, we have the atomic bomb. Had Germany blessed the Jews, they today would have been a superpower. But those that bless you, God said, in his antiquity of dealing with humanity, said, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." And I want to take it a step farther. We are the descendants of, by this born-again experience of this man called Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham because the thing is by faith. We are heirs according to the promise. And I can tell you as a man of God today, those neighbors of yours may not like you, but as long as they treat you good, the blessing of the Lord will come to them. But those that curse you, he will curse. Those that curse us, he will curse. You ought to lift your hands today, and you ought to clap your hands, and you ought to shout for the divine privilege, for the awesomeness of having found the favor, Sister Thompson, of this man called Jesus, that even you cannot explain with human words. Oh, do it again, and let your joy, let your understanding rise to the heavens from this place today. Hallelujah. A Jew can also be found in the early history of the automobile. In fact, until the 1960s, historians believe the gasoline-driven engine was invented by a Jew. German-born Siegfried Marcus was said to have patented in 1864 a motor car powered by an internal combustion engine that drove it at 4 or 5 miles per hour. That vehicle is still in perfect running condition today. Atomic energy, flight, broadcasting, recordings, communications, transportation, each is an integral part of the modern age, and incredibly, each has been brought about by the help of Jews. We are relatively certain that Christopher Columbus was Jewish. Thus, America was a Jewish discovery. Once he had discovered this country, his first letters were not to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain, but his first letters were written to two Jewish colleagues. The first person on his voyage to set foot in America was a Jew. The first people to live in New Amsterdam, what is now New York City, were Jews. The Bible is a Jewish book and has been translated into over 1,000 languages. The first book of importance published in America was the Book of Psalms, which is now so rare it has brought $151,000 at an auction. Our Bible, one Bible group, has distributed 900 million Bibles, expressly the American Bible Society. The vast majority of all the books that have ever been published has been Bibles, and the Bible has been the top bestseller of all books ever published, including cookbooks. The Bible, with its message of monotheism, or the worship of one God, is the great contribution of the Jews to the world. The Bible, a product of Judaism, has become the property of all people. The Jews themselves being called the people of the book. Abraham Lincoln had a Jewish chiropodist who carried out secret peace negotiations with the Confederacy. Hebrew was considered so important in early America that three major universities used it in their seals. The Statue of Liberty, which has become the worldwide symbol of peace and freedom, would not have been completed if it had not been for Jews. France sent it in crates and boxes in pieces to this country by ship. It stayed on the dock for months, and no one interceded for its erection and establishment. It was Jews that began to raise funds that finally put the Statue of Liberty in our American harbor. And the inscribed poem at the foot of the statue, which in part says, "Huddled masses yearning to breathe free," etc., was written by a woman whose name was Emma Lazarus, a Jew. Even Uncle Sam has Jewish blood in his veins. The name Sam is short for Samuel, the name of one of Israel's greatest prophets. Though America has seen waves of Jewish immigrants since our beginnings, the Jew has never brought infectious diseases into this country. Beyond any other nationality, the Jew in America cares for his own and needy. There are practically no American-born Jewish poor. The United States has offered the Jewish people one of their longest periods of religious and civil freedom. America owes much of her essence to her pervasive Jewish connection. America can boast there has never been an official expulsion of Jews from America, nor has America ever had an official ghetto for Jews. No major European country can say the same. Is it just coincidence that while America has flowered these past 300 years, Europe has withered? A threat to Jewish existence is often turned back upon those who posed it. Throughout history, the presidents of the United States have been uniformly warm to the Jews. John Adams, the second president, wrote, quote, he said, "I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation." Zionism has been endorsed by every president since Wilson. Harry Truman had the United States recognize Israel as a nation just 11 minutes after her Declaration of Independence. Labor Day, the first Monday of September, which all of us look forward to and enjoy with relish, was brought about by a man whose name was Samuel Gompers in 1894. He finally succeeded in getting Congress to make the first Monday in September a legal holiday to honor the working man, the contribution of a Jew. If you enjoy daylight savings time, you've got to think of another Jew whose name was Marcus M. Marx. And then there was a man whose name was Levi Strauss. He invented and designed the rugged pants for California gold miners in 1850, known simply today as Levi's, the old American clothing. Many of America's best-loved songs were written by Jews. White Christmas, Easter Parade, Oklahoma, Swami, and even God Bless America was written by a Jew. The first department stores were the invention of Jews, Sears, Roebuck, and Company. Movies, the movie industry. Cecil B. DeMille, who was a Jew, was responsible for the movie The Ten Commandments. I read one particular source and reference that said, more people have seen the movie The Ten Commandments than any other motion picture that has ever been made in motion picture history, and it grossed $43 million. Fiddler on the Roof, the longest-running Broadway play in history, grossed $35.5 million. A survey asking Americans to name the men and women they most admired showed Jews at the top of both lists, Henry Kissinger and Golda Meir. Until a Jewish doctor showed differently, Americans once believed the tomato was poisonous. During the Civil War, both the Union and the Confederacy appointed Jewish doctors to head their medical departments because they were the best doctors that could be found. The doctor hailed as America's father of pediatrics was a Jew. The first successful operation for appendicitis was performed by a Jewish surgeon. A Polish Jew who pioneered a new field of medicine and medical research gave us a word now common in our language, vitamins. A Jewish lady founded America's system of public school nursing. A Jewish lady is responsible for city playgrounds in our major cities in this country. Dr. David DeLeon had the idea for the American drugstore. Our own President Truman read the Bible twice before he went to grammar school. And when he was sworn in as president, he kissed the good book. 1 year after Truman had recognized Israel as a nation, the chief rabbi of Israel visited Truman at our White House and said to him, quote, God, Mr. Truman, put you in your mother's womb so that you could be the instrument to bring about the rebirth of Israel after 2,000 years. When President Truman heard it, he wept openly before the rabbi and all those that were there to hear. The skeptics may argue that there is no divine force at work in the world, but all the efforts of philosophers and religious leaders throughout recorded time have been an attempt to explain life, man's destiny, and God's way with him here on earth. One supreme being and a group of people called Jews to teach the world about the Ten Commandments and one God. I have barely scratched the surface here this morning of the Jewish connection, but I can tell you that back of everything that has ever been given to the cause of humanity that was good, there is a Jew standing somewhere in the shadows or even the sunlight of that contribution. Because God had told Abraham, He said, Abraham, if you will teach your children, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, not two, not three, not half a dozen, not a million in the pantheon in India, but if you will teach your children, and they will teach their children, that I am the only true God, He said, then you will be blessed, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed, because of your adherence to my divine laws and to my divine ways. God, Jesus, the Bible is true. What one word is proof that the Bible is divinely inspired? The Jew, Your Majesty, it gives luster and authenticity and validity to the Word of God. The Jews have defied history. They've defied it. Historians hate the Jews because historians pride themselves of a set pattern where a civilization suddenly comes into existence. It rises to a peak of ascendancy. There is decline from within and it is finally destroyed and you walk through the ruins. And it's easy for historians to make records and to write stories and to somehow explain the whole situation. But he has difficulty with the Jew because they had their beginning with an old man who was called Abraham, and they reached their peak of ascendancy under a king whose name was Solomon, and they began to decline from within, and finally their temple was destroyed, their city was destroyed, their culture was wiped out. They were dispersed to all the nations of the earth. They tried to kill him, they tried to burn him, they tried to gas him. But today, Israel lives because there is a God who is a covenant-keeping God. And people, if He would do what He has done for the Jews, what will He do for those of us who have been to water in His name, who have received His Spirit? If God has been so faithful to a people called Jews, Hebrews, what then will He do for the likes of us who come here unashamedly and clap our hands and shout with our voices and run these aisles and call Him Lord and call Him Master and bow at His feet? Go ahead and do it. There is a spirit of clapping. There is a spirit of worship in this place today. And there is an understanding. God. God. Unwilling to abide alone in eternity, created a man whose name was Adam and gave him a bride, Eve. Then there was Seth, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Malachi, and finally, the greatest gift, the greatest Jewish connection, omnipotence and deity, stepped out on space and drew near to a virgin in the countryside of Judea and overshadowed her, and suddenly that which was born from her womb was called Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. And angels came and said to Jewish shepherds, His name shall be called Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. The greatest Jewish connection of all is that the Jews gave to the world the greatest gift, a Jewish Messiah. A Jewish Messiah. When you pray to Jesus, you are praying to a Jew, because God Himself became a Jew. There's no way you can hate the Jews. There's no way you can call yourself a Christian and hate the Jews, because every time you lay a hand on a fevered brow and you say in the name of Jesus, you are quoting an ancient Hebrew name, Yahashua. If ever there was a people that ought to worship God and be sympathetic and hate racism and hate Nazism, it's those of us who call Him by His name. This one God, this only true God, this blessed one from the house of David, this Prince of the house of David, this Savior of the world. God is trying to bring a complete revelation to our movement. He wants signs, wonders, and miracles. He wants understanding of the Scriptures. And God, in this hour, prophetically, is rising up a people that will have the power of the whole book, the entire counsel of Almighty God. Yes, we need the prophets of old. Yes, we need angels ministering for us. Yes, we do. I know that you cannot totally command them, but I can pray in the name of Jesus, and He will send one for me to you. We ought to send a few to a bunch of people that I know to minister them by day and by night, that their minds will be opened to the urgency of God. You saw what happened in this place last night. You have seen what has happened here night by night. If this is not the will of God, then I don't know the will of God. If this is not the will of God, I don't even know God. But it is the will of God. It is the will of God for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to lift our hands and to lift our voices and to let our feet dance as Miriam of old, to shake a tambourine. It is the will of God to play an organ. It is the will of God to have it. It's the will of God to play this. It's the will of God to bang on the drums. It's the will of God to blow the trumpet. It's the will of God to play upon the high sounding cymbals. It is the will of God for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, as the prophets of old, as Moses of old, as the Jews of old, as the people of God have always done. For in this place, He is alive and He is tangible, this Jewish Messiah. Would you stand to your feet? Would you clap again? Would you clap again, O house of Israel? Do it. Do it again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's it. Let it all settle down upon you. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God. Reach out and grasp a promise for yourself. And I would speak to you, saith the Lord. This is only the beginning. What you have seen, what you have felt, what you have touched is only the beginning. For I will once again walk from my palaces. I will once again walk among a people who love my name, who are part of my ancient covenant. Yea, I will go forth before you, and your eyes shall behold the glory of my power. For I have brought it into this sanctuary this day, saith the Lord. Lift your hands. Clap. Let it somehow explode inside of you. That's it. Do you want to see it? Do you really want to see it? You cannot let die what has happened in this revival. You cannot let it die. Just because I leave tomorrow, you cannot let it die. It must continue, and it will continue through your hands. It will continue through your lips. It will continue through your effort. It is here. He has brought it here. He has given it to you as a gift. It is upon this platform. It is in this sanctuary. Oh, people of God, people who are called by His name, you've got a right to rejoice today. More than anybody else in this entire city. We've got a right to do our thing more than anybody in this entire world because of who we are. We are the sons of Abraham. We are the daughters of Abraham. This Jesus, we've known Him from the beginning of time. He's not just somebody that suddenly stepped on the scene 2,000 years ago, but we have known Him for nearly 6,000 years. That which was invisible in the old has suddenly become visible in the new. He walked out of obscurity into my life, a risen Savior who is alive in this sanctuary today. This is not a dead, dull, boring religion, but this is the pulse of the voice of the prophets of old. This is the power of that man called Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to hear a little organ music. I want to hear a Jewish instrument. I want to hear it today. Oh. Oh, ho, ho, ho.